Again, we appreciate you being here. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to the book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6. We're continuing our study on salvation. And all this falls under the heading of basic Bible beliefs that we're studying. And we're gonna keep going through here for a while. But John, chapter number 6 and verse 44 is where we'll get started this morning. In the last several weeks, we're covering some things about a Christian, and we're going to get into very soon here in the next month or so, we're going to get into the details of what happened to a person the day and the very moment that they got saved. There's a lot of things that happened the very moment you believed in your heart and asked Jesus Christ to save you. There's a lot of things took place. And most Christians go their entire life and they do not ever realize what happened. They know they're saved, and they know what happened, they know what they did, but they don't know what all took place at that very moment in the spiritual world and inside your body for salvation. And that's one of the things that I believe helps secure the fact that we can know that we're saved. And some things that we covered the last few weeks is every Christian should know that they themselves are saved. That's an important thing to me. I'm thankful this morning that I know that I'm saved. Amen. Whenever I lay my head down at pillow at night, there might be financial problems, there might be health problems, the world might be falling apart around me, I might not always be right with my wife, but I know when I lay my head down on my pillow at night that if I was never to wake up again, I will wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I know that I'm saved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And every Christian should know that they're saved, and we went over some of that. And also, the second thing that we started on is every Christian should know how he got saved. And we looked at Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, where that jailer said, asked Paul, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
This world system, the religious system of this world, has complicated salvation. I've been in churches before, and especially youth meetings, where there'll be 500-600 youth there, and the preacher will get up and preach, and he'll say, "Who wants to be saved?" And of course, all the kids want to be saved, right? They raise, "I want to be saved." So they come down, and when they hit the altar, they hand them a card and say, "Fill out this card." And then they'll report, "We have 200 kids saved." You know what I'm saying? That's a shame. And then that child, Brother Scott Justice, he'll be here this week preaching revival. That's his testimony. When he was a kid, he raised his hand. "I want to be saved." He was in trouble with his parents or whatever else it might be. Or I think he had a Miss Tanya, his girlfriend, he was liking. And her mom and dad said, "You can't go out with him. You can't court him or date him because he's lost." So he's like, "Okay, I'll run down to the altar and get saved." And he went down there and they just had to fill out a card. And that was the basis of his salvation. Now when he stands before God, if a person like that stands before God and God says, "You know, why should I let you into heaven?" Are you going to hand him a card and say, "I filled this card out"? No. It's going to be, "I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not going to be works. It's not going to be church membership. It's not going to be any of those things. And so for every Christian to know how he got saved, there's three essential things that have to take place before a person can be saved. Number one, he has to realize that he is lost. We covered that last week. How many verses did we go over last week that says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God"? We know that, right? All have sinned. We all are sinners, aren't we? Amen?
Amen.
I am. We're all sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. But the second thing is what we're going to cover this morning. John chapter 6 and verse 44. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
John 6, 44. The Bible says, "No man can come to me," talking about Christ, "except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days." Number two, a person, in order to be saved, they have to have a desire to be saved. And God is the one that gives that desire. You remember the day you got saved. It might have been in church. It might have been at your house. It might have been at work. It doesn't matter where you were. But you remember the day, if you're truly saved, where God tugged on the strings of your heart and convicted you about your salvation. and you realized that you weren't saved, and God dealt with your heart, and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Turn over to John chapter 16. It's a waste of time, really, to deal with someone that the person of the Holy Spirit is not convicting and attempting to draw that person to Christ. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Andrew? I preached a lot of youth rallies and a lot of youth. I've been in youth camp. I've been going to youth camp since I was 8 or 9 years old. I've been going for, 22, 23 years. And you'll get in a good youth camp service, and man, somebody preaches Hell Hot and Heaven Sweet and just preaches that book. And there'll be some people that are being drawn by the Holy Spirit and realize that they're lost. And they'll come up and get saved. Well, then you'll have some other kids that are in church, and because their buddies went down, they weren't even paying attention to the message. Like some people do when I'm preaching, amen? You're off in paradise land drinking a lemonade on the beach somewhere. I know our imagination gets away. It does it to me sometimes. But they're not even paying attention. But the altar call comes, and the preacher says, come, come, you want to be saved. And they'll come down, and God's not convicted them. They weren't even paying attention. They're smacking bubble gum. And then they say, I want to be saved. And you can just tell, man, God's not dealing with this person. I'm not going to turn them away. I'm going to show them the scriptures and go through and show them. And that's between them and God. But, man, you can tell when God is dealing with someone. And that Sunday, I'll keep going back to it. He's the only one that's been saved here. But that Sunday, Zach came running down here. Amen. God was dealing with his heart.
Amen.
And you could tell the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. And now I've seen it where God's been dealing with a person that Holy Spirit's been drawing, and we are not Calvinists here. We do not believe that God chooses who and who will not be saved. God knows who will be, but He doesn't choose that. He leaves it to you to decide whether or not. So God draws through the Holy Spirit, and then that person comes down, God deals with them, and they can choose to say, no, I will not get saved. Last night at the revival service that Brother Josh was preaching, there was two young men sitting in the very back. They had the back of the pew gripped so hard. Brother Josh preached an excellent message on hell and on Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I'm telling you, that if they had the strength in their hands, they would have broke that pew. They were gripping it so hard, their knuckles were white, sweat dripping down their face. During the invitation, they would not move. And God, you could see it, man. You could see the conviction of God on them. And what's tragic and sad, and it was said last night, that God is not promised that He will draw all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
Someone could be being drawn of the Holy Spirit of God, and God dealing with their heart about salvation. And man, you've got to answer that call and be saved. And that has to take place in a person's life before they can be saved. Can I tell you this, that the same Holy Spirit that draws you before you're saved is the same one that draws you after you're saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That brings that conviction in your heart when the preaching, or you hear a song, or hear somebody give a testimony. That same Holy Spirit that drew you to salvation will draw you. And there's been times where we've been in church and some young person or somebody will say, man, I know I'm saved. I asked God to save me, but I feel that same conviction. I feel that same thing. Maybe I'm not saved. No, that's the same Holy Spirit. There's something in your life that God's trying to get your attention on. But a person, before they can be saved, they must have a desire to be saved. You there in John chapter 16, verse 7?
Amen.
John 16 and verse number 7, the Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. God will always tell you the truth in His Word. There's not one verse in this Bible that's a lie. Do you all believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. If I believed this book was a lie, I'd be sitting at home right now. Amen. Getting ready to watch NASCAR or whatever else is on. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is talking about Christ. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And so one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit of God is to convict. Look down at verse number 8. And when He is come, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit of God is to convict a person about their spiritual condition. And that's before salvation and after salvation. From testimonies of folks in here, most of you know that you're saved, and you know when you got saved, but does God still talk to you about things? And I praise God for that, amen? I thank God that He didn't just save me and leave me alone, but God still deals with me. Last night at the preaching, I know I'm a preacher, but I need preaching. I listen to preaching all week long, and God deals with my heart on things to try to get closer to Him. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to convict. And you realize, Christian, here this morning, you say, well, the disciples, they got to be with Jesus Christ. And I admit, that's a wonderful thing. Man, what a time that would have been to actually have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you that we have it better than the disciples did? You say, why do you say that, Brother Andrew? Because He's living in us. They didn't have that. The Holy Spirit of God was not in them. But He is in the person that is saved today. And man, that's a much better thing. Look at John chapter 12. We're going to look at several verses here. John chapter 12. Just go back a few chapters. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that all men could be drawn to Him. John chapter number 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 32. You find your place, say amen. Brother Cody's got it. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 32. Amen. The Bible says, this is speaking of Christ, He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw what? What does it say? Y'all there? All men unto me. Jesus Christ, when He is lifted up, when He is exalted, when He is magnified, the Bible said that He will draw all men unto Him. I remember the morning, or the night I was sitting there at Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, the night that God dealt with my heart so real that I had to do something about it. And you know what? Jesus Christ was magnified, He was lifted up. I told you, I don't remember the message that was preached that night, but I remember the Sunday before when my pastor preached about heaven and he preached about hell. And he lifted Jesus Christ up and he magnified Christ. And because of that, I was drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved in here this morning, you were not saved aside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got saved because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That had to be a part of why you got saved. Somebody had to tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And you believe that He died on the cross for your sins. And you asked Him to come in your heart and save you. And that's how you got saved. It's got to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? It's nothing aside from that. Look at John chapter 1. Jesus died on the cross so that all men could be drawn to Him. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses number 6 through 9. Amen. All right, John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that what? That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear the witness of that light. God gives every single person an opportunity to be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. That God gives every single person an opportunity to be saved. And there's some that He gives second chances and third chances. Some of you could give testimony of how you were raised and you had opportunity after opportunity and you rejected, or you had a mind knowledge of salvation and not a heart knowledge of salvation. And then finally that day came where God dealt with you again. And I was one of those. That night that my pastor preached, I knew that I was lost. I knew that I needed a Savior. And I did not go down to the altar. I was afraid of what my friends would think. And I did not trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I could have died that night and I would have busted hell wide open. But you know what? The very next service, it was during a revival, same thing. I didn't do anything. The next night, finally Wednesday night of the revival, I couldn't take it anymore. And God was still dealing with me, and I praise Him and thank Him for that. Whenever someone, like that young man, I don't even know that man that was there last night, but when I see God dealing with someone in such a way, my prayer for them is that God makes them entirely miserable until they get saved.
Amen.
Make their food tasteless, amen. My dad used to say, turn their nose upside down so it rains inside of it. Whatever it takes to get them to be saved, because I want to see all men be saved, just like Christ does. And you say, Brother Ann, you know, these people out here in this world, they're wicked. There's some of them that don't look that great. They might not be the greatest. But you know what? I love them and I care for them, and it's because of Jesus Christ. I want to see everybody get saved. I want to see everybody have the same peace that I have, the same joy that I have. Amen? And I believe you'd want to see the same thing. Brother Eric this morning gave a prayer request. That's probably one of the greatest prayer requests we could ever pray. We could pray for our country, we could pray for this and all that, but one of the greatest ones ever is that all men be saved.
Amen.
He said, let's pray for everybody that's lost. Church has lost its focus over. I'm not talking about this church, we're just getting started. I'm talking about as a whole, the Christians as a whole have lost their focus. There's too many churches that are entirely built on preaching against abortion. I'm against abortion, amen? I believe that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and that that child is a living soul at conception.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's fine. But their entire ministry is built on preaching against abortion. Brother Scott, you've seen some of these, haven't you? That Westboro Baptist Church out there, man, they hate the United States of America. They hate this country. They hate any men that serve this country. And they'll go protest at military funerals. That's their church. I'm telling you right now, we got a bigger fight to fight. There's people dying and going to hell. Amen? And I love our country, and I think they need to take that bunch of people and go drop them in the middle of Iraq if they hate this country so much. Just go take them over there and drop them off and let them live somewhere else. I love our country. I'm against abortion. I'm against same-sex marriage. I'm against those things that we need to stand for, but that is not the groundwork. That's not the foundation of the message of this church. The foundation is Jesus Christ and Him lifted up and Him magnified, and we need to see souls get saved.
Amen?
Amen. That's what this thing's all about. It's not about anything else. It's not about a program. It's not about a youth ministry. And we're going to have all these things. Those are byproducts of the product.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But a person to be saved, they have to have a desire to be saved. And I believe with all my heart that God, at one point in every person's life, when they reach the age of accountability, God gives them an opportunity to be saved. You say, well, what about that starving pygmy over there in Africa that's never had a missionary? The Bible tells us in Romans that their conscience, God-given conscience, excuses them or unexcuses them. And I believe that God will get them the message somehow. He's a just God. He's a just and righteous God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I believe that God will do that. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. There's those that believe that not everyone's saved, that God just preordains and He chooses who's saved and who's not saved right from the get-go, and that He knows it. And if you're one of the ones that you're one of the goats, you just don't have it. There's nothing you can do about it. And I don't believe that for one minute. I don't believe this Bible stands behind that. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that exactly what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know what God's request is this morning? Do you know what God's will is for you? God's will is for you to be saved. Does that mean it's going to happen? No. But He wants everybody to be saved. I want everybody to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that one person die and go to hell. He wants to see everyone saved. But that person must have a desire to be saved. God does not save anyone against their will. And there's been many a time, and I've seen men and women, they're very stubborn, prideful. My pastor preaches a message, Pride, the President of Hell. How many people are busted hell wide open when they died because of their pride? They wouldn't put down their stinking pride enough to accept Jesus Christ and admit they're a sinner and admit they need a Savior. If we're all honest in here this morning, even after salvation, we need God.
Amen.
I need Him. I need Him in my workplace. I need Him in my family. I need Him in my marriage. I need Him when it comes to raising my children. I need God in everything that I do. And if we be honest with ourselves, we'd admit that. And the day you got saved, you admitted that to Him. You said, I need a Savior.
Amen.
And He took on the sins of every single one of us. And He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And He went through all that. And He received torture and torment on the cross of Calvary. God darkened the whole entire world. And the whole thing went black so that God could deal with the sin that was on His Son.
Amen.
And He went to hell for you and me. Amen? But God does not save anyone against their will. If a person does not harden his heart against the Word of God, he allows the Holy Spirit to work on his heart and soften his heart, and God can save that person. And it doesn't matter what they've been through or what they've done or what they've gone through, God can save them. You might not even forgive them, but God can do it. God can take care of it. But the person has to realize that this is God's Word and believe what He says in His book. And can I tell you this morning, folks, we have family that's lost. Everybody in here probably has family that you know is lost. They're either believing in a false religion, a false hope, or they're just wicked and they're not saved. Every one of us knows someone. I have family that's lost. And it breaks my heart to think about what they're going to have to go through if they don't get saved. I cannot get saved for them. You see what I'm saying this morning? If I could, I would get saved for every one of them. I would do it for them. But you can't do that. God has to do the work. As a pastor of this church, as some of these men in this church, and Brother Scott and some of these men, I'm telling you, like, whenever it comes time for someone to get saved, they might be able to take this Bible and show you what to do to get saved. They could take you down through the Romans and show you about Jesus Christ dying for them and that God commended His love toward us and that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly and show you that all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died. He can show you all those things. But we can't get saved for you. We can even say a prayer and tell you how to say a prayer. But it comes within the heart of the believer. They have to have a desire to be saved. There's three essential things for a person to get saved. Number one, they have to realize that they're lost. And we're all sin. Hey, if you're saved in here this morning, you're a dirty, rotten sinner that's been saved by the grace of Almighty God. You have to realize that you're lost. And number two, you have to allow Jesus Christ to work in your heart. And you have to be drawn to Him. You have to have a desire to be saved. And I don't know in a million years why anybody would want to go to hell.
Amen.
I have family that have died. And I've talked to them. And I've witnessed to them. And I've told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not want nothing to do. They said, I don't want nothing to do with your religion. I don't want nothing to do with your God. I'm looking forward to going to the big party in hell. They told me that.
The
Bible says there's wailing and gnashing of teeth and burning and dropping and falling forever and ever and ever. There's no sure footing. I enjoy being able to stand on the ground, amen, and know that I have some sure footing. In hell, there is no. It is burning forever and ever and ever, and it never stops. Talk about the party in hell. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but there's some that do. And I'm telling you this morning, I know this is Sunday school lesson. It's a little bit different this morning, but I'm just telling you that I do not want to see anybody die and go to that place. But if you refuse salvation, if you refuse the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your sins, you're pretty much saying, I want to go to hell. You have to step around the cross of Calvary and step around the Christians that God's put in your life. You have to step around the prayers of God's people for you to go to hell. I have a message. I don't know when I'll preach it. I'll preach it here sometime. But it's called The Roadblocks on the Road to Hell. God has placed things in every person's life that they have to step over and step around to get to go to hell. And the biggest one of all is an old rugged cross. All the things in your life, they lead up to the cross. They point to the cross of Calvary. They point to Jesus Christ. The Christians in your life, the things that you've gone through in your life, the tragedies you've gone through, everything points to the cross. And the last thing you walk around before you drop off in hell is Jesus Christ. That cross of Calvary where He died for you and that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. Person's going to get saved, there's three things. One, they got to realize they're lost. Two, they have to have a desire to be saved. And the third one, I'm going to cover next week, but I'm going to give it to you briefly right now, is you just have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
That's it. You don't have to join a church. Our church will not save anybody. Amen? We're just a bunch of gun-toting rednecks. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to get you to heaven. We're just trying to get people to love Jesus and try to fall in love with Him. Amen?
Amen.
We'd love for people to join our church. And we got several here that haven't joined yet. We'd love you to join the church. We'd love you to be a part of it. Amen?
Yeah.
Be a part of the church. But this church isn't going to save anybody. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just trying to point people to Christ. I'm going to do this real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel like the Lord's telling me to do this right now. We're about to have our morning service. We're about to have a fellowship. I'm looking forward to it in just a minute. Let me ask you this, Christian, this morning. By the raising of your right hand, will you say, I know for 100% sure when I die, I'm going to heaven? Say, Brother Andrew, I know it. I know it. There's not one doubt in my mind. When I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise it up high right now? Raise your hand. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. All right, you can put it down. Now listen. There's some that could not raise their hand this morning. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to pray for you right now. We're about to go into break here in just a second. Coffee, good times. Hey, I could take this Bible and show you how you can be saved. I can take you, and all it takes is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave out of here today without knowing Him as your Savior. Please let me take this Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You, Lord, for loving me. And I thank You for the precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, God. And Lord, You endured so much trial and You endured so much pain and torture and damnation, Father. And Jesus, your own Father turned His back on You during that time. And You did all that for me, God. And You love me enough and You love this world and You love these people enough to die for us, God. And I thank You and I praise You for it. And I thank You for the assurance that I have of salvation this morning. But God, there's a few in here this morning that could not and would not raise their hand. God, I'm not going to embarrass them, Lord, but I care about them. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that You would speak to their heart so much, God, that they come up here, God, and get my hand, Lord, and let me take this Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord God, I pray just like I did for those boys last night, God. Make them miserable, God, uncomfortable until they come to You, Father, and realize that You're everything and Your peace and Your happiness and Your joy and You're all those things that are missing.
Yes, Lord.
God, please, Lord, save a soul today. Please, Father. God, I'm pleading with You. Lord, I pray You bless our fellowship, God. In Your name we pray. Amen.